When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
It all started with an intern.
We're still alive.
Don't move!
Faster! Run faster!
Those monsters will bring real trouble.
I saw the fear in its eyes.
Father Nature has arrived!
Say goodnight, Mom Cherry!
This, my friend, is your destiny.
I've been dreaming about this day for a long, long time.
You're wanted men.
There is no salvation today.
The National Park Service always pays its debts.
Hey, guys, what's up? I ran to the goat man!
Ba-ba-boom! Headshot!
You must be him. You must be Kevin.
Kevin's Cryptids, the second season. Subscribe now.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. We got Bill Goldberg here on the phone, and we've got Alistair Weaver from Edmunds.com. And before we start, CarCast is brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar is an ultra-thin coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. Put Zybar on, take heat off, visit Zycoat.com now. And of course, Continental Belts. Visit OETechnologieseries.com to learn more about them. And of course, our friends at Dodge. Hurry in to find great deals at the Dodge Black Friday sales event. Every time I read that, I feel like Bill's going to literally head to the dealer and find out what's going on.
No, I already sent my email this morning.
Wait
like a good kid at Hanukkah, man, you know?
I had a funny conversation, email exchange with Dodge, and I was like, you know, hey, you know, thanks for participating with CarCast. We're having a great time. And I said, everything seems to be working out to your favor. I was like, Goldberg did the Dodge commercial that he wanted to do, and then he called us here on the show to tell us about it, but he called us from the Dodge dealer as he was getting like the red eye or ordering the red eye or just like, I was like, the check hasn't even come in the mail yet, and it's already out, back to Dodge.
It's all about timing, man. You know, you got to get in line, then you got to... you got to fill out the order sheet, then you got to wait your 3 to 9 months, whatever the heck it is.
Yeah,
it's all about timing, you know. Like I said, it'll be here hopefully right around Hanukkah time.
Well, perfect. And just to touch base on the things that you were doing, you talked about NCIS Los Angeles last week. Fun episode. You did such a great job. And you're going out and filming. Wait, can you talk about the other show as well?
Yeah, another episode of the Goldberg. Yeah. You know, like I said, it's funny, man. You look at the sign-in sheet, and everybody on the left column's got the last name Goldberg, and I'm the only one on the right-hand column with the last name Goldberg. I'm the only Goldberg on the show who's truly a Goldberg.
You're the only
and
real
and I don't have a Goldberg name in the show. It's just one of those funny things. But, you know, hey, anytime I'm on that show, it's awesome. This was an episode directed by Leah Thompson. We all know who she is. It was an honor and a privilege
to
work
to the future.
Under
Howard the Duck.
Under her tutelage, and it was awesome. And I tell you what, whoever wrote that episode needs a medal. Because it was absolutely hilarious, and I just can't wait to see it.
Awesome! When you're going to let us know when we can check that out? Hopefully,
yes, sir.
Alistair, how you doing?
Good morning. Good, thanks.
Welcome back to the studio. I'd say bright and early, but this is kind of your thing.
Well, 9 a.m. Yeah, exactly. Full of laughs.
Well, I mean, 9 a.m. is when we're starting. It's not when we got up this morning. You drove in from Manhattan Beach.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, a little tour of L.A. in the morning.
I tell you, traffic was a little light on the way here this morning. I think people are going out of town for Thanksgiving or something already.
That was what it was. I was wondering what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, it's fires, it's terror, something California-ish. No, it's no, but it's going to rain this week, so expect some floods later as well.
I'm heading to Big Bear in our Ram, actually. Yeah. So that'd be nice.
In the Ram.
In the Ram, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of the Ram, you came in, you were talking about the trucks. You were talking about how much you guys like that thing. And I keep watching these Chevy commercials. I don't get it. It's the guy who does nothing. He just opens a garage door and opens another door. I just don't get the Chevy commercial thing. And the one that I saw recently was like, they're like, I forgot the whole script, but the guy's like, do you know what the best truck is? And everyone's like, the Ford?
Oh, the one where they came across the desert.
Yeah,
I know exactly.
They're like, is it the Ford? He's like, no. They're like, oh, it must be the Dodge. They're like, no, it's the Chevy. I was like, that's a terrible commercial because it's basically just a commercial saying everyone thinks the Ford is the best and then maybe the Dodge and then the Chevy because they're literally like, what's the best truck? Yeah. And everybody's like, it's got to be the Ford. And they're like, no. They're like, what? It's like, how is this a real commercial for Chevy? This is a terrible idea.
I haven't thought of it that way, but you're right.
It's a commercial about how everybody's better than you. They're like, actually, no. I know that's the perception. I know everybody thinks that.
But because this is a commercial, it must be us.
Yeah, but it's right.
When did people come to the conclusion that it's a good thing to mention your competitors in a commercial?
I don't know.
Do you know what? In Europe, that's banned. In Europe, you can't say Dodge good, Chevy bad. Legally, you can't do it. So it's kind of funny to me over here that you can kind of say, oh, that Ford? No, buy a Chevy.
Buy a Chevy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be like you wouldn't mention the brand, right?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I got to tell you, that Chevy commercial is the best Ford commercial out there. Right? And then secondary, it's the best Dodge commercial. And then it's a weak Chevy commercial. Yeah. And I just don't get like how their agency is like, this is a good idea. And then they send it to the client. The client's like, we love this.
Yeah, somebody signed off.
Yeah. And they're reading the script and they see Ford. Then they see Dodge. And they're like, Chevy, the punchline after. Right? Especially these days when people are like fast forwarding through commercials on their DVR. So the first punch they hear is, what's the best truck? Yeah. Ford. Fast forward. You don't even get to the rest of the commercial.
You're absolutely right. We do a lot of analysis on our videos of how long people actually watch and how engagement and all those sort of metrics, what we call dwell time, which is a web geek word. But yeah, you can tell you've got to hit people between the eyes. You know that. It's if you don't get it right in the first 5-10 seconds, then people have gone.
So it's funny because the film industry, if you guys have noticed, they're catching on with people fast-forwarding through their DVR. So they'll show the trailer of the film, but at the top of the screen will be just like a black bar that says, like, Creed 2. And it stays there the whole time. Because as you're fast-forwarding, that just stays there. And you get that branding up there for a minute. And it says, you know, Creed 2, November 20th or something, right? And then you can kind of fast forward through the action. You're like, oh, I get it. It's Creed 2. It's coming out. But they just have it up there with the date, you know? And so you can't – they should just do that now. You should just be like, buy Chevy.
Yeah, Chevy, you know, nice truck.
Nice good truck. believe it or not, it's the top. anyway, kind of a weird thing that I was thinking about. I think about ads when you walk in. Alistair, I think about vehicle testing and stuff when you walk in.
Well, here I got a question for you, vehicle testing wise, Alistair. While you're on hand, I have a very close friend that is looking to buy an exotic and use it half the time on the track, half the time driving it from track to track. He wants to spend about $150,000. He's looking at 3 different cars right now. I want your opinion of them, the Lambo, the McLaren, and the Ferrari, the 430, I think it is, the McLaren's, the MP4, and I have no idea what the Lambo is. But what are your thoughts on that, Alistair?
For $150,000.
I was going to say, get the Porsche, which wasn't on your list.
One car. 911 GT3.
I knew that was what was going to come up, but taking the Porsche out of it.
Okay. The trick is with the Huracan, if it's a Huracan, the Lamborghini, I'm a huge fan of the Huracan Performante, which is, I was over there driving in, bizarrely, in Transylvania, Romania last year, and Lamborghini went.
No one ever.
When they brought out the Huracan, it was almost like they felt they needed to soften everything off and talk to a different client base.
Yeah.
The Performante is a car they always wanted to build, and I'm no fan of the Huracan, but the Performante is brilliant. But for $150,000, you ain't going to get a Performante. So I'd discount
the Huracan. No, I'm assuming maybe used, maybe like a year
Absolutely.
Or two.
Absolutely, yeah. No question used. Yeah, he's not looking at new by any means.
The other problem, Bill, is you'll never fit in one of those, so you're not going to be
I'm not worried about me. It's not me. It's for a similar-sized gentleman as Matt.
So
he's a midget.
Yeah, well, perfect. Huracan.
You can get one of those Japanese little city. No. If we, for 150, you could get a probably Ferrari 430, which would be great. The trouble is with this, they're quite, the reason Porsche, everybody buys a Porsche, I know maybe he doesn't want a Porsche, but the reason everybody buys them is because they will take the abuse. A 430 is still, if you're going to track it that much, is still going to be an expensive car to look after and maintain.
You haven't mentioned the McLaren.
The MP412C was, you would definitely get one of those for 150. Wasn't a great car. It was their first attempt. It's actually be great on a track. Not the most charismatic thing in the world. A little bit quiet. A little bit, just a little bit anonymous. But that's on the track. It would still be a good thing. 150 might get you into an early 570 now, maybe. Which is a fantastic car, and they're great in that they move around a little bit as well. It's not one of these track cars that just goes where you point it. They're actually really, really fun to drive.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the other thing I'd say is,
Porsche-wise, let's bring Porsche back into the fray.
Well, 150 nearly gets you a new GT3, or certainly a used one. They're quite difficult to come by, and sometimes there's a premium attached to them. But the GT3, I mean, I spent some time. We did a film on the Edmunds channel with Edmunds YouTube channel with the ZR1 against the GT3, and I just couldn't get over how good the GT3 was. I think we talked about it.
I love the Porsche. Yeah, I love that car.
And we actually spent some time in the last couple of weeks in the GT3 Touring, which is the one without the wings and the stick shift box. And if I could have one car today, it would be that. It would be that GT3 Touring with a stick shift. And you know, if he's got around $150,000. I'd be looking to the Porsche. If you can get a McLaren, the only problem with any of those things, if you're tracking them every day, and Matt and I were just talking about it off air, I did a pure McLaren day a couple of weeks ago in Texas, which was a fabulous day. But you're going to do a set of tyres. You might do a set of brakes as well, at least if you're doing a couple of track days. And those bills start to mount up. Even if you're a wealthy guy, those bills mount up pretty fast, whereas the Porsche will take a lot more abuse.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it sounds like the Porsche is the benchmark, regardless of if he would want to buy the Porsche or not. And I would say that I kind of like the McLaren in that group. I think I'd hold out or spend a couple extra bucks for the 570. I drove the MP4. I drove it on the infield of Auto Club, you know, did some track stuff there. And then their whole pitch was, hey, drive it around town first. And we're like, let's go on like a 10-mile little around town deal, and then let's go to the track all in one movement.
Yeah.
And it was good. But also, like, the interior on that car was just like a little bland as well. It just didn't have the pizzazz of like the Ferrari did.
I remember talking to their test driver, Chris Goodwin, who's now Aston Martin, and he was saying they underestimated that the car needed to feel special at 30 miles. A bit like the Formula One team. Ferrari was all Italian flamboyance. McLaren was all about precision engineering. And they underestimated that most people drive these things at 25 miles an hour down the high street, showing off. And you needed something that's a lot more kind of guttural, a lot more visceral. And if you drive something like the 600 LT today, or even the 725, they've understood that, and they've put the kind of super back into it.
Yeah, they have. I've driven the MP4 and the 570, the 650, 720S. I've driven all of those, as you have as well.
I spent a day a couple of weeks ago down the Circuit of the Americas, down in Texas, with Pure McLaren, which is a track day experience they do. You'd love it, Bill. So they drive. You turn up and you spend a day with a one-on-one instructor. You have Race Logic V-Box telemetry, so you could. They set a reference lap, and you're chasing the lap times the whole day, and it's just a fabulous day out. And it's The course I did is about $10,000, so it's a huge amount of money. But you're driving their cars with a one-to-one instructor with full data. And if you have the kind of sense to go out and buy one of these cars, go and do one of these days because you will learn so much. I didn't know the circuit. I'd driven the car before, but not very often on the track. And I started off, and I was off the pace a little bit. And then by the end of the five sessions, I was on the pace. I was loving it. We were kind of chipping away at the tents here and there. Just a fabulous day out. And Bruno Senna was there with a Senna. So we did the cliched Instagram picture, Senna and Senna.
Yeah, that I like that Senna. If you get that thing in the right color, that thing's badass. $10,000's a little bit of a hefty track day bill.
It is, but to be honest, they do.
If you guys are if you're in the market for those cars, then that's nothing.
Well, also they do it cheaper. That if you want to turn up with your own car, it's not $10,000. $10,000 is to turn up, private instructor, telemetry. Bunch of people looking after their car. So, yeah. You know, you're not putting any wear and tear on your own.
I mean, look, if you go to the Rolex Historics in Monterey and you hire somebody like Bruce Canepa to be your crew for the weekend, you know, you get his trailer, you get his hospitality, you get his guys wiping down the car, tuning a few things on it, you know, that's $10,000. His bill's $10,000 for the weekend, roughly, something like that.
And I was working with Warren Hughes, who's won LMP2 at Le Mans, a British guy, but was working over here. Fabulous driver coach. And just the ability to sort of sit next to you and just tell you little things that you're doing that you don't even know yourself.
Yeah.
And he spent 30 years as a professional racer, and his ability to feel a car from the passenger seat and tell me what the car was doing and it was amazing. And classic thing that I tend to overdrive, and he just had me just, you know, calming down 10% and going faster.
Yeah.
That was a great day. And what a circuit.
Now, you've guys heard me say this before, that I drove the 720S. We actually filmed a bunch of stuff for them, and I absolutely loved that car. And I think it's probably one of the greatest supercars out there right now. But then I drove the Ford GT, and I love that car for different reasons. And they were sort of at the top of my list. I love the Ford GT because of what it represented of having an American supercar.
Sure.
And yeah, and it's quick and it's cool. And I do like the feature that raises the nose so you don't scrape the front on the ground.
Yeah.
On the GT, it's really fast. It's almost like hydraulics, like it pops up.
It is hydraulics, actually.
Yeah, almost like it was going to pop up in the air and start bouncing around. But those two cars were at the top of my list. Now, Bill, you've squeezed yourself into a Ford GT and did like the rally or something back on the East Coast, right?
Yes, sir.
Have you been in the McLaren?
I have not.
So, that's right. You were... I don't even know if we had started this yet when I had the 720S, but I squeezed Steve Austin in there.
yeah, Steve and I are about the same. I mean, I got like 20 pounds on him, but yeah, we're about the same size. Was he fairly comfortable in it, or was it was he wearing it?
He was okay, but you know Steve Austin. He had like a little bit of his beer belly. And
but you also know that, you know, if you're primarily going to track the car, I want to be as tight as possible.
Yeah,
you know, because tight means safety.
The only real obstacle for Steve, unfortunately for him, poor guy, was he's taken some bumps in his days as well, and he's got a pretty bad like shoulder. And he actually had a hard time sitting in the seat and then reaching up to grab the door and closing it. The angle just tweaked his shoulder.
Yeah, I can
and he's
that.
Like, it's kind of rough. Like you know, he's just like, to kind of put your arm up and back a little bit to pull it down and to get that door closed was he's like, yeah, that's not the best move for my shoulder.
I tell you what, taking him on a track like that, you realize just how fast a modern supercar is. We with the telemetry at the end of the straight, we're pulling 171 miles an hour and then braking at 200 yards for a second gear left-hander. And they had McLaren GT4 race cars out there at the same time, which are restricted to about 450 horsepower. So we were faster in a straight line than in the 720 than we were in the GT4. And we were there in jeans and jeans and a sort of long sleeve shirt. And 171 miles an hour hitting the brakes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, these things are just getting faster and faster and faster.
Oh, yeah.
And faster than most race cars now.
And without the electronics and stuff that we have today, everybody would be having a bad day. You know, by the way, you spoke of Senna, and someone in Europe, I saw on the news already, bought it, drove it off the lot, wrecked it.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Didn't get very far. Brand new McLaren Senna. What's that car? $1.5 million?
Yeah, if you can get one.
If you can get one. And just wrecked it right away. I'm like, come on. Get a feel for it. You know, get a feel for it. I'm going out after we do this show. I've got a friend who's selling a Viper. Oh, yeah, there's the wrecked. Airbags popped. Yeah, I mean, it's not.
That also
explode.
Looks like a rubbish crash as well, because that's on a residential road, isn't it? So it's not like he's taking it to the track and
no.
He's just, yeah.
No, he's like, what does this traction control button do? Let me turn that off. Hit the gas. Boom. Hit the wall. We're looking at a picture
of
it, Bill.
That was like half of the Demon owners.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I'm after this, I'm going out to check out a Viper. I'm going to check out a 92 Viper. It's the 35th car made. It's only got like 12,000 miles on. It's mint condition. It's nice. A friend is selling it. He asked me to help him sell it. I'm bringing another friend out there that wants a Viper. And I keep thinking back, you know, 92, that Viper, no ABS, no traction control. You know, I mean, not the fastest thing in the world, but it could be. Yeah. You know, it could be if you drive it. You know, back then it's, I don't know, it's 400 horsepower. It's 450 pound-feet of torque. It only weighs about 4,300 pounds, maybe a little less. And it's 0 to 60 in 4.2 seconds. I feel like a Focus ST can do that. But, you know, maybe not quite, but, you know, maybe an RS. But I feel like that's not that fast anymore. But that car can pull over a G, you know, on the track. And it's pretty easy to get out from under you. You know, that car can get a little scary very quickly.
And the tire technology wasn't as good back then either.
Yeah. You know, I think we had Christopher Titus in a few years ago, and he had a Viper. And he was doing like a Willow Springs, like Big Willow track day. And he was talking about, he was with an instructor. And, you know, he went around the track twice or something with the instructor. And the guy was very specific. He's like, brake here, turn in here, ease in here, you know, back off a little here. And about two laps in, the instructor was like, his mind, he was like, I don't have to say this all the time. You're getting it. And Chris was like, I'm waiting for the instruction. And then he went down that long straightaway and into that first left-hand turn one. And the instructor didn't say anything. And he kind of looked like, wait, aren't I supposed to brake? And he just went straight off. He just lawn darted. He just kept going. This thing shot in the air. These two guys, they're like lawn darted his Viper into the grass, like between like turns, I don't know, one and three, you know? And he was just like, he was like, scariest moment of my life. And the instructor's like, what are you doing? Chris is like, what are you doing? He's like, what happened to the turn left? He goes, I thought it would be obvious by now. Yeah, it was rough. They did some damage on a car for sure.
Well, the McLaren guy said, you know, like you go to a lot of circuits, they put cones out, brake here, turn in here, apex here. They don't do that because they said what they realize as soon as you take the cones away, you might as well have not done a day's tuition.
Yeah,
because everybody panics.
Yeah, they just look for cones.
Yeah,
yeah.
You just join the dots all the time.
You Goldberg, you've done the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race. I remember because...
It's funny that you brought up Titus because after I blew the tranny in that little Toyota piece of shit Celica, he picked me up on track and gave me a ride back to the paddock.
Oh, he did. Wait, you blew the transmission before or after you punched the car?
That was before. That was I think the reason why I punched the car, but yeah, I was second place, man. I was rolling, couldn't get any more speed, and figured why not just blow up the tranny.
No joke. He did the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race. The car broke. He got mad at it. He punched it. Broke his hand. It's funny, but it's funny now. It's funny now, but at the time, I think you were telling us a story. Like you punched the car, then you sat down, and you're like, I'm pretty sure.
Well, yeah, I was under contract. It was right when WCW was purchased by WWE, and I had a guaranteed deal unless I was hurt. And then I went out and I smashed the side view mirror with my forearm, and I broke my forearm on it and went back to the paddock and told my, my manager said, you know, I'm really sorry you wrecked. And I said, well, I'm really sorry, but I just broke my arm.
My God.
And we left, and that was it. Nobody ever knew until like a year or 2 years later.
Right, but the you got to sit there and go, all right, I broke my arm, but now I have to wrestle with a broken arm, like, because I'm not going to tell anybody, and I've got a contract, and this is my job, and now I've got to wrestle with a broken arm. Right,
take one for the team.
You know? I mean, well, take one. You know, like, your manager's getting his fee either way. So
exactly,
you know, he's like, "Yeah, you better suck it up, buddy. You got a guarantee." He's like, "It's not my arm."
Yeah.
He's like, "You did this to yourself." Yeah. And I think it was so Adam did the race, and I forgot who it was. Maybe it was Vassar. Maybe it was Vassar. Yeah, I don't think it was Unser. I think it was Vassar. And Adam was talking to me. He's like, yeah, and, you know, whatever turn. And he goes, where should I break? And he's like, oh, there's numbers on the wall. When you see, like, the big five, start hitting the break. And Adam did a few laps. He followed the directions. And then he comes back in. He's like, I almost flew off the track, like I was coming in way too hot. And he goes, yeah, what did I say, five? He's like, yeah. He's like, I was way off on that one. It should have been like seven. And he goes, I went into that again. I realized, yeah, I was, yeah, my bad. He's like, my bad? He's like, I almost flew off the track. He's like, well, don't listen to me. He's like, maybe don't listen to me. It's funny because Adam is always called Tanner Faust. Tanner's really good on that track. And you know, Tanner had a good tip. He's like, before they started doing the drifting the weekend before, they would do it like the day before. And he would say, oh, this is perfect because the drift guys go out there, and when you go into this turn and that turn where they drift, they lay down so much rubber, just go full floor, you know, just full throttle, just hammer down, and you go, you'll stick. No one thinks you will, but you will, because they lay down all this rubber. And that was kind of one of his little tips. And even when they started drifting like the weekend before, it was still enough rubber there. If it didn't rain that week, it was enough to just go full out on one or two of those turns. It was crazy little tips. But
I think the terms full out, hammer down should never apply to a vehicle with less than 200 horsepower.
Well, right. Well, what choice do you have? You know, like, first of all, I drive an Alfa Romeo Spider. Everything is full throttle. That's it. You're either off or you're full throttle. There's no in between.
Yeah.
Right. There's just nothing in between. That's the way it works. But I'm driving the M3 today. So let's get into what else you got going on, Alistair. But first, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit more about Zybar. So guys, Zybar is an ultra-thin coating for manifolds, headers, turbos, tailpipes, mufflers, and tips. It has a thickness of 0.001 inch, which reduces radiant heat by 90%, and it's the first DIY thermal coating of its kind. Now, that's impressive. It's non-corrosive and does not break down even in 2,000-degree environments. It makes wraps, shields, and expensive ceramic coatings obsolete. This is the future. Use Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar comes in four awesome colors. They have bronze, midnight black, cast silver, and Porsche gray that will definitely make your engine a showpiece. Zybar is available for purchase at Zycoat.com and many auto parts retail locations. Zycoat is Zycoat.com. Put Zybar on. Take heat off. All right. What's going on with you, Alistair?
Two big things for us over the next couple of weeks. We just launched today, hot off the press as it used to be, our rankings project. So basically, Edmunds has ranked every new car on sale. So there are about over 400 cars in the market today. We've subdivided that into 50 different categories, so you're always comparing apples with apples, and then rank them all. So if you head to the site now, and on the homepage, click on one of the white icons, it actually take you through to our rankings product. And you can see how we rank every car sale. Because if you think about it, my job is to advise people on what car they should buy. So whether it's Bill's friend buying a GT3 or not buying a GT3, or it's somebody buying a Civic or a Camry or whatever it may be, our job is to say, well, actually, what's the best car for you? and the rankings is our best way of doing that.
And how do you break it down? What are some of the parameters that determine the ranking?
So we put everything, before we can produce a ranking, we produce what we call an Edmunds rating. So every vehicle goes to our test track and we run a whole bunch of numbers on it. The cars go to our studio and are fully measured out. Plus, we run the car normally for a couple of weeks and put a huge array of different drivers through it. So it's a really in-depth test. In fact, we believe it's the most in-depth in the world for what we do. And off the back of that, we create a rating system, everything from driving performance to comfort to practicality to usability. And all that's relative to other cars in that sector. So obviously, we're not comparing the practicality of a 911 with a CR-V. But having done that, we create individual ratings out of 10 and then an overall rating. You can see all this on our pages, head to, say, the Honda Civic page. And then from there, we will rank the vehicles based on those ratings. So it's a combination of a lot of data, a lot of science, plus the subjective opinions that come from a hugely experienced team who've driven everything.
Now, all of this is based on your initial testing of the cars and some experiences you have with them. Will at some point... will you add some long-term results to that? Does that make sense? Like if you have something for a year and you put the 20,000 miles on it, do you go back and say, this is the initial ranking and this is where we are now based on, you know...
Yeah, so these
not every car gets long-term testing, but I'm saying some.
Yeah, but well, what we're going to try and do is run our number one ranked vehicle in each of the major segments. So this is going to be a new philosophy going forwards. But I should say the whole thing is dynamic because a lot of the Car of the Year awards that you see, it's like best car 2018 or 2019 or whatever it may be. And a lot of those are based on what new car came out this year. So you get these weird anomalies. So it's a car that we don't regard as the best in the class, but it wins the overall award simply because it happened to be new. What we're trying to recognize in this is genuine excellence. So you might see, for example, the Mercedes S-Class win for 10 years in a row. Why not? And every time a new vehicle comes out, we just tested the Toyota RAV4, for example, this week. And that will, as soon as we get it into the office to a proper test, that will impact the ranking. So this is a real-time verdict on what we regard as the best cars in their class and the best cars for you. And we're working on different ways of allowing you to compare from class to class and that sort of thing. So, and it's also trying to be nuanced. So if you want to be big on drive, you know, if you prioritize handling flair over practicality, our reporting will actually show up what we regard, because there'll be a rating for driving performance or a rating for practicality. So you can dig into it a little bit. You can compare vehicles.
So you can search the vehicles based on what your preference is. Like if you want performance or handling or something else.
You can actually, absolutely, you can compare the vehicles side by side. You can also dig into the more in-depth review with the individual ratings for as I say, performance, practicality, et cetera, et cetera. There's all the safety ratings and everything else on there as well. So there's a huge amount of work gone into this, and this is going to be a really big play for us now and in the future. So it's bound to be a bit controversial, and I'd encourage anybody listening, go to the website, have a look at it. If you disagree, you can email. Actually, it comes to me. You can email me at rankings@edmunds.com. But yeah, it's a big thing for us. It's launching today. I actually sent the press release and a note to all the industry.
Oh, that's why you're making a phone call before you walked in.
Yeah.
Hey, is that rankings thing still up? Is that going live or what's going on there?
So there's always this thing in my job where you're at 7 o'clock this morning, you get push go on an email and then you just wait for the feedback.
Wait to see what's going on.
Because it matters to people. Why am I number four? Yeah. Why am I number? And we do this all the time, and it plays into our video strategy as well. Of, you know, we did our big trucks test, which has been a huge success for us, as to, you know, the Ram came top and then the Ford, then the Silverado. And yeah, people, you know, manufacturers care about this. We've got 20 million people a month coming to the site, so people do care about this stuff.
Yeah. I think it's a great feature because, like you, we get asked all the time. I certainly do. People go, hey, what should I buy? What should I buy? And I say, I don't know. Ask Alistair. I do it to you on Twitter all the time now.
Well, the mentality we have when we talk about it internally is this idea of being this kind of expert friend or guide, really. So it is that guy in the guy or girl in the bar who's sending you, to, you know, as you do to me on Twitter, what's the best car? And what we need to do is apply that to 20 million people through the mechanism of a website. So not, you know, so if Bill asks me again, what I should be doing is say, go to this page, Bill, and it'll all be there. Or you can just text me. It's okay.
Right, because Bill, you and I were having a conversation not too long ago, a couple episodes ago, when we're talking about the difference between the Cadillac Escalade and the Lincoln Navigator. the full new Navigator, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think...
Alistair, I'll be tapping into that SUV section in a couple of weeks, too.
Yeah, it's a great...
Talking about the Razor over.
It's a great feature, and we need to be a bit more... You know, we need to have that confidence in our... You know, we have that confidence in our testing, and you know, ultimately, that's the what Edmunds does is firstly to advise you on what car would be best for you, and then guide you through the whole shopping process. So there's a real depth to what we do, and that's the point of rankings and ratings, and the reason why we get a test tracks every Monday and spend the week being thoroughly geeky about cars. But it's good fun as well. The other thing we've got coming up next week, of course, I think you're going to be there, Matt, is the LA Auto Show.
The LA Auto Show. One last question on the rankings,
Go ahead.
Is all of the testing and stuff, that's something you do for all the cars. You can do a comparison of all of that stuff. But what about when you start getting into things like a RAV4 and a CRV and you want to know what's the most dog-friendly or what is the easiest to strap down a baby seat or something along the lines of that? You know, like when does that start to factor into... You know, I mean, because people buy cars now based off of, you know, the sync system. You can plug your phone in and how integrated that is. And
it's absolutely crucial. And what we're always trying to do is to, and this also plays to why we run cars on a long-term test as well for 20,000 miles. But even when we get cars in for a couple, we won't rate a car unless it's been through our office and our in-depth process. So if we go and drive a car on a vehicle launch somewhere in the world, that doesn't count towards the rankings. We need to get it in. We need to do thorough testing on it. And you're absolutely right. We need to recognize that, you know, somebody buying a CRV has an entirely different mindset to somebody buying a McLaren. So can you fit the child seat in? Can you get the stroller in the boot? You know, how does the infotainment system work? We know, for example, that Toyota's Entune is pretty hopeless. You know, can you have CarPlay? And if you can have CarPlay, can you have Android Auto? Because this is actually how people use cars. And we assess a vehicle based on how it will be used. So, of course, you take a slightly different approach to a ZR1 as you would to a CRV or a Civic or a Camry. But we have a broad range of people within our team, age groups, gender, everything. And so it's more a case of putting lots of people through the car, getting different opinions, understanding how people will use it, and then coming up with an opinion based on that. So if you think about the market today, there's the whole entertainment world, you know, the Grand Tour and Top Gear and that sort of thing. There's the influencers buying supercars with daddy's money or whatever it is. But then there is a whole other space, and I think we need to lead in this area, and I think we do lead in this area, which is what is the best car for me, which is proper advice. So we like to make our content engaging. We want to make it entertaining. I think our video and our written stuff does that. But above all else, you've got to come away from it saying, is this the right car for me? And even GT3, which is against ZR1, which is the enthusiast end of what we do, we still came away with a very clear opinion on which we felt was the strongest car.
Yeah. I just spent a week in the Jaguar I-Pace, the all-electric Jaguar, which, despite all my bitching about charging, you know, trying to charge a car on the public network is bullshit. So if you get any electric car, they're like, you got to get the charger at home. Yeah. You have to. There's no other option. Because the public infrastructure for charging is shit, right? You got to drive to a Ralph's parking lot or something, plug that shit in for 7 hours. Guys in their little Fiat 500s are behind you going, what are you doing? I needed to plug that in. And then are you going to be here all day? And then you got to like Uber home or walk a couple miles and leave the car. Like you just can't do it publicly. So you got to have the charger home. But I really liked that vehicle. I thought it was great. I thought it was fast. I thought that I kind of like the size of it. I think for LA, it's a good size. Yeah. It's not big. It's sort of mid-size sedan, but a little bit higher up. It's like a Jaguar XF, but higher up, hatchback, right? I liked it, but to your point, the Jaguar infotainment system still, like, it's just slow. You hit a button on the radio, and it takes a 2 full seconds before that thing flicks over to the next thing. I'm like, why do we still have this? Like, this has been going on for like 7 years. And I was like, come on, guys, we can do this. And like, look, there's a lot of car companies out there that are really good at making cars, but they're not good at making other things. And I'm saying go to somebody who is good at this. Like, if you're Jaguar, listen, don't be afraid to give Google or Apple or Microsoft a call and go, we can't figure this out. We can't make our radio buttons fast. So how about you do it for us because you're pretty good at this stuff? Like, no shame in that, by the way.
Exactly. Concentrate on what you do.
Yeah. Concentrate on the like, their style is great. Yeah. I love Ian Callum's style. I love the interior of that car. I loved it far better than a Lexus. And I enjoyed driving that thing immensely. I thought it was quick. It pulled hard. That the electric power is great. Even at 80 miles an hour, you hammer down in that thing and it scoots along. I liked it. But
no, I hate you.
The camera's on, the camera's off. I put it in reverse, and then I go reverse, and I put it in drive again, and then the camera comes on. I'm like, well, it's too late now.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's going on? All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about LA Auto Show as well. I'm going to tell you guys about Continental. When you're under the hood, ever notice how often you see Continental belts? There's a reason for that. Continental is one of the world's largest original equipment suppliers for the automotive industry. Automakers around the world insist on Continental for original equipment belts. The U.S. Big Three, BMW, VW, over 30% of all new vehicles sold in North America. You know what that says? It says Continental knows OE because they are OE. Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V belts for the automotive aftermarket are precision engineered for perfect fit, form, and function with a true OE pedigree. They're the belts engines already know. So you can confidently spec Continental's Multi-V belts. There's one for 98% of vehicles on the road today. You may not know it, but Continental is also a leader in automotive technology. Hey, maybe they should call Jack. Electronic components for things like autonomous driving and accident-free zones. These guys, they focus on innovation in every product they make, including OE Technology Series aftermarket belts. Visit oetechnologyseries.com to learn more. Maybe they should do infotainment systems. I'm just saying. Just a little tidbit there. LA Auto Show.
Sure.
I like going because it's close. And it's the auto show that I go to every year. Everybody's very, very sweet. They say, come on down. Come to the press day. Come to a bunch of events. I got a few things on the menu. I've got a Bentley event I'm going to. I've got a Lincoln event I'm going to. And Genesis, the Hyundai non-Hyundai car.
The posh Hyundai.
Yeah, the posh Hyundai. I'm going to one of those events. And actually, I don't have much of a relationship with them, but I'm always so curious about that car because it looks nice. And it looks like the car that should be all in like the stock footage because it's like, oh, is it a BMW or is it a Mercedes? There's no logo on it. And it's kind of the generic car that they should use. But I haven't got to spend much time with them. So I'm going to go to one of their events as well. But what do we have to look forward to at the LA Auto Show?
Well, it's a big show. And we talked before on this show about how, you know, the whole auto show world is diminishing, but actually LA, if anything, is bucking that trend because it's a huge market, particularly for the luxury brands. But there's some important new cars here. Mazda 3, which will be a huge seller, is launching. Honda Passport, which sits alongside the CRV and the Pilot, and was described to me as a
what's the lineup? CRV,
then it'd be Passport, Pilot,
and Pilot's
the bigger one. Yeah, and it was described to me at SEMA as a kind of more masculine CRV. So it's based on the Pilot, it'd be a little bit better off road than a CRV, a little bit more aggressive. We've already had a sneak preview of that. That's debuting. Bentley Continental Cabriolet. As you discussed, Audi GT Concept e-tron, which will be a sportier version of the e-tron SUV that's launching next year.
Okay.
Porsche 992, the new 911. I mean, it's crazy. We're sitting here saying how much we love the current one, the 991.2.
Yeah, like you just still doing videos on it going, hey, this Porsche is so good. And Porsche's like, I'm glad you like it. We've got a new one coming out.
Yeah, it's crazy. So that is actually launching here in LA next week, the 992. We've already had a little sneak drive of it, or sit in the past.
Porsche does such a good job of distracting us with all the little spin-off models, right? They're like, hey, the 991, yeah, it came out 7 years ago. And they're like, it's really long in the tooth. They're like, no, 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 but we feel like we just got the new. They're like, no, no, you got the GT3 and you got the GTS and you got the all-wheel drive and you got the, you know, the, all these versions that sort of released over time to keep that thing fresh. They're geniuses at that, right?
Well, they are. And this one will launch next week here with Carrera S and Carrera 4S. Then you will, in PDK, flappy paddle gearbox, then off the back of that, you will have the standard Carrera coming out, then and then manual gearbox. Thank God, that's retained. And then on from there, you'll have GTS,
maybe
GT3,
and then Targa should fit in there somewhere again.
What's it?
Targa should
Targa will be in that mix. Hybrid will be in that mix, but that's probably a few years off. So it's 8-speed PDK now, 7-speed stick, 450 horsepower for the Carrera S. I mean, the performance of that thing will be extraordinary. The turbo is rumored to have over 650 horsepower. So as always, more horsepower, it'll look like a 911. It's going to have one of those, you know, the Panamera has that sort of red strip across the back.
Mm-hmm.
That will feature
the light.
On the, yeah,
the, yeah,
that
the
will
light.
Be on every new car.
And Panamera has it now. Cayenne has it now.
Yeah, it's a Porsche. Macan has it now. They're all. Yeah. It's becoming a Porsche
now,
signature.
You mentioned Macan. That's already getting a refresh.
Macan will be here in LA as well. That was launched in China, I want to say, a couple of months back. So yeah, new Macan, which is a pretty hefty refresh. Obviously, Cayenne's new as well, or relatively new. So it's a great lineup. Excited to be going to the launch of that on Tuesday night. But also just a lot of mainstream, great mainstream stuff as well. Say Mazda 3, Passport. Mm-hmm. It's a good show. And we'll have a big team there. We'll be doing lots of video stuff, lots of reporting on the site, checking out the new models. And if you're in town, you know, it's still a great day out.
Do we know the date of the show? What's today? Today, this show is coming out on the 21st.
Yeah, today's the day before Thanksgiving.
Okay, so as you're listening to this, it's
Wednesday
before
Friday.
So it's a week on Friday. So next week for us is like the press stuff, and then and then it's open to the public, and it's open for a long time, like a week.
Yeah,
till
December 9th.
Till December 9th. Mm-hmm.
Thanks
for
Chris.
LA Auto Show. All right, so there you go. So definitely check that out. I think that'll be kind of fun to do. Bill, you coming to LA?
I am not.
No. maybe if the Goldbergs call you back up and give you some time.
Yeah, I'll be there December 3rd for another episode of the Goldberg.
Well, all right. Well, there you go. It should be a fun event to go and check it out. All right, we're going to wrap things up here. And before we do, I'm going to tell you about Dodge. Join the Brotherhood of Muscle and give winter the cold shoulder. With Dodge's all-wheel drive vehicles, you can joyride like it's summer in the dead of winter. Visit your local Dodge dealer now for a great deal at the Dodge Black Friday sales event. If you don't...
Ho, ho, go!
Goldberg Claus will come after you. I keep seeing different variations of the commercial. They're fantastic. I think the feedback is it's been great. I saw Christy Lee, our friend Christy Lee. Christy Lee, I mean, that I beat at the drag race at Roadkill Nights, but still, you know, no less charming.
I saw that.
I was like, the driver, man. If I beat her, also,
yeah, right, yeah. I guess I guess delivering presents is not a race. I don't know. I always kind of felt like it was, but
I guess I'm the one that's got to get out and deliver them physically. So if she drives them, it could, you know, technically make it quicker.
Must be a pretty big chimney.
I tell you,
that's not funny. I've lost weight.
The best part of that commercial to me is you painting the engine. When you're like on the easel there, you're like painting, and I didn't notice it the first like time or two what you were painting, and I was like, oh, you're painting a demon engine or a Hellcat engine.
I missed that nuance. Yeah, I'll have to go back and watch it again.
What's even more amazing is I'm not left-handed.
I was trying to figure that out. I was like, you look kind of awkward with the left hand. I was like, what's going on with that? It's funny because I know you and I saw it in the commercial. I'm like, why did they make you do it left-handed?
I don't know.
It was weird. But all right. Anything else going on with you, Bill? Anything else you got to throw out there before we wrap up?
Just waiting on that elephant, man. You know, we need the control module. They need to make the control module available so I can put it in that race car, for God's sakes. If not soon, then we're going to have to give Hellion a quick phone call.
Oh yeah, I'm crushing on those guys on the turbos that he's got going over there. He's what a nice guy. If you guys missed that episode, go back, listen to the episode with John from Hellion Turbos. A cool dude, really understands what he's doing. Like I said, I known him from drag racing, and he was so dominant out there. Now he's making all these kits.
Let's a small microcosm of the car world. You know, we've been in this for a long time. Flex Wheeler's a great friend of mine. I haven't seen Flex in 100 years. We bump into each other at SEMA. He's with Hellion. There goes the relationship with Hellion. So, I mean, again, it's just a prime example of why the damn car world's so cool, you know?
Yeah, he's making a 2,000 horsepower demon.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Of course he is. I love you, Alistair.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap up. And Alistair Weaver from Edmunds.com. Guys, thank you so much for listening to that. Thank you for coming in here and...
Thank
you for coming in and giving us the lowdown. Go check out all the new ranking system that they have over there. You can find Edmunds. Go to Edmunds.com. You can find Edmunds on all of the social media. You can go to Weaver Alistair on Instagram, and then you can go to Alistair Weaver on Twitter. If you get this wrong, just switch them. You'll figure it out eventually. And check out Goldberg. He's at Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter and Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. Constantly posting stuff up there. Like you said, fun stuff from NCIS and the Goldbergs, but also Goldberg's Garage, all the car stuff, burnouts, videos, kind of fun stuff you got going on over
there. And the finale of Knife or Death. Season 2, tonight, 10 o'clock, 9 central, only on History.
There you go. Check that out.
Shameless.
He's doing a lot of his voiceover stuff, doing all of his plugs in there. He had his TV enthusiasm going on. I love that. You can check me out at moderator.com. The website's up there. You can do some Christmas shopping. Go to my website, snoop around, and...
buy a Viper.
You could try. I think you could do that from Edmunds, not from my site. But I tell you what, you know what? To support everything that we're doing here, you can go to CarCast Show. You can click on that Amazon banner. You can go to Motorator.com. Click on that Amazon banner. Buy all your shit from Amazon. And then we get a little love, and it doesn't cost you anything extra.
And so, give us a 5-star rating, or Goldberg Claus is going to kill you.
That's right. Tell a friend on iTunes. We're going to keep growing this show. And Goldberg's got a hell of an engine to get, so we love the ratings and the reviews. All right, Chris, thank you so much. I think I saw Kalen run around here too as well. So whatever you did today, Kalen, thank you for that. You're amazing. And until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
Ho, ho, ho.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.